Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Hapae Kaiwa Podcast with Jun Senesak, episode 474. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Jun here with Hapae Kaiwa. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that I caught a cold and I kind of lost my voice. As you guys can tell, it sounds like I got a frog in my throat right now, but please bear with me during this introduction. In today's special episode, we have two amazing guests, Philip from Australia and Lewis from the UK. We're going to compare different English expressions used in three different places: the US, the UK, and Australia. First off, we'll discuss common phrases used to greet our friends and how we usually respond to them. Then, we'll dive into the fun and quirky words mate, bloke, dude, and bro. While these words may seem simple, their meanings vary depending on the context and where you are in the English-speaking world. After that, we'll keep the conversation going with some common small talk topics. Finally, we'll take a closer look at the word reckon. This is a word that gets tossed around a lot, and we'll explore its meaning and how often it pops up in everyday conversation. So get ready to have a blast and learn some useful expressions that you can use right away in your everyday conversations as an English learner. 今回の特別編では、オーストラリア出身のフィリップさんとイギリス出身のルイスさんという素晴らしい2人のゲストをお招きし、3人でアメリカ、イギリス、オーストラリアの3つの異なる場所で使われる英語表現を比較します。まず最初に、友達に挨拶するときによく使われるフレーズと、それに対して私たちが普段どのように返答するかについて話し合います。それから、mate, bloke, dude,bro といった面白いちょっと変わった単語を取り上げます。これらの単語はシンプルに見えるかもしれませんが、文脈や英語圏の場所によって意味が異なります。その後は、よくある世間話の話題で会話を続けます。そして最後に、reckon という単語について深く掘り下げます。これは日常会話でよく使われる単語で、その意味と使い方、頻度を探ります。英語学習者の皆さんは日常会話ですぐに使える表現を学びながら今日の特別編をお楽しみください。特別編に入る前にお知らせがあります。大人気書籍万能英会話フレーズ101の姉妹編発展英会話フレーズ101がついに登場です。今回のテーマは初級者から上級者まで多くの学習者にとっての壁であるネイティブ同士の会話の理解です。英会話の先生や仲のいい同僚との会話はある程度理解できるのに、ネイティブ同士の会話になるとさっぱりわからない。そんな経験ありませんか？解決の鍵は、ネイティブ同士がよく使う口語表現を理解することにあります。この書籍では、ネイティブの日常会話やリアルなシチュエーションで使われるフレーズを厳選し、わかりやすく解説しています。ネイティブとの会話に自信を持ちたい方や、アメリカのテレビ番組や映画の内容をより深く理解したい方にはぜひ手に取っていただきたい一冊です。発展英会話フレーズ101は3月22日に発売予定ですが、現在 Amazon Japan で予約受付中です。発売までまだ数週間ありますが、ぜひご予約ください。Please enjoy my discussion with Philip and Lewis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Jun here with Hapae Kaiwa, and joining me today is Lewis from the UK. What's going on, Lewis? How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Cold. It's snowing here in Yamanashi, but it's all good.
Yamanashi. That's amazing. And we got Philip from Australia. What's going on, Philip? How are you today?
Doing very well. Complete opposite, though. Boiling hot, 35 degrees.
Boiling hot
here in Perth.
because it is summer over there in the Australia.
Summer, yes. Yes, that's right.
And here in LA, believe it or not, it is raining today and it's kind of cold, but that is, you know, according to LA standards, it's about 60 degrees right now, which is probably not that. 60 degrees Fahrenheit, probably to all the listeners and even to you guys, that is a term that's really hard to understand. I don't know why the US is like the only place in the world that uses this system. I don't even know what that is in Celsius, but I want to say it's probably around 17 or 18 degrees Celsius, something like that. It's not that cold, but cold enough for me to wear a sweater, at least. All right, guys. Well, today we are going to compare the similarities and differences of American, Australian, and British English. I got a couple of different scenarios that we'll be discussing, and we'll take turns responding and answering to these situations. So Lewis, Philip, are you guys ready to do this?
Let's go for it.
Let's get started, guys. So we'll start very easy. This is pretty much when you're learning any language, the first thing that you learn is how to greet somebody, right? So when you guys greet somebody, and again, when you greet somebody, you are either greeting a friend, somebody that you know, or a stranger. So depending on who you're talking to, it may vary. I want you guys to keep that in mind as you're answering the question. But when you guys greet somebody, what is your go-to greetings? What are maybe two or three things you pretty much say all the time when you greet someone? All right. So Lewis, let's start with you. Lewis from the UK. What do you typically say when you greet somebody?
Well, I think, you know, all the normal stuff, like, hello, how are you? Nothing too unusual. But there is one thing that maybe if I'm feeling very casual and I'm talking with my friends, I might say, sup, fam.
Sup, like a S-U-P kind of thing.
Sup, fam.
Fam. Well, like F-A, like family?
Yes. So even in here in Japan, sometimes if I just kind of, I'm not paying attention and I get a little bit too relaxed, I might say to someone, like, oh, sup, fam. And they just like have no idea what I'm saying. So yeah, sup as in what is up, like, what's happening, what's good, how are you, what is up, sup, and fam, which is kind of, I guess, kind of like London slang for family, like mate, pal, something like that. So yeah, that's if I'm feeling super casual, but otherwise just, you know, regular stuff.
Gotcha. Philip, how about you? Sup, is that something that you use or you might hear in Australia?
Probably not. Okay. At least not for a few years, or many years probably. I've not heard that around, really.
Gotcha.
I probably wouldn't use it myself either. It's a little too, I know, get the feeling of, maybe in Australia, it feels a little 90s.
Gotcha.
I'm a 90s kid. What are you going to do?
Because speaking of the 90s, I might have to agree with Philip here a little bit, but I think when I was in high school, which is back in the 90s, sup was like super commonly used. And I think like when I was greeting my friends back then, I would probably say sup, man. And I think like instead of fam, it was like man or dude or something along those lines. But sup was common. Also, like when you're texting somebody, it was SUP for short, right? So that was definitely a word that was pretty popular back then. And if I do use it, just like you, Lewis, with my close friends that grew up with me, but I'll probably keep it there.
Let's bring it back.
Exactly. I mean, this is the perfect time to do it. I mean, trends always come back at some point, right? How about you, Philip? What are some of your go-to greetings?
I think we go with the classic Australian g'day. Mm. You know, g'day, how's it going? Sometimes we'll throw in different variations of how are you, you know, like I just said, how's it going, how's life, what have you been up to, That's usually with just about anybody, whether it's friends or strangers. If I'm really close with somebody, we might even start off with an insult. You know, like we might be like, "Oh, who let you in here?" Or, you know, "Oh, the animals escaped from the zoo," or something. You know, something like that. You know, just to kind of build that relationship at the start. But yeah, most of the time in Australia, we use like shortened versions rather than like "good morning." People just say, "Oh, morning," "afternoon," "evening," stuff like that. Very rarely "hi, hello." It's usually like "hey" or "g'day" most of the time.
G'day. Yeah, you definitely don't hear that in the United States. G'day. And it took me a split second to even like try to understand what "g'day" meant when you first said it, Philip, and then I caught on. But how about in the UK, "g'day"? Or I'm probably like butchering it right now. I'm trying to say the Australian way, but "good day," is that something that's used in the UK?
I feel like if you say it fully, "good day," that feels kind of like, I don't know, old-fashioned, but in a good way. Good day, sir. I feel like that's good. But shortened, I guess it wouldn't be so common. But if somebody heard it, you know, you'd understand it no problem. So people might not say it so much, but to hear it is, yeah, like, no problem.
Gotcha. Yeah. Definitely don't hear much here in LA. But for us, or at least for me here living in LA, I think the one that I use the most and the one that you hear pretty frequently is "how's it going?" I feel like that's a go-to for a lot of people living here in Southern California, whether it's somebody you meet for the first time or somebody that you've known for a while. Or even when you go to restaurants and the waiter or the waitress greets you, a lot of the times the way that they'll greet you is by saying, "hey guys, how's it going today?" And that just seems to be the typical greeting here in the US. And yeah, you know, I think, you know, with my friends, "what's going on" might be another one that I might use. "What up" without the S. I don't know if you guys do that or not, but that's...
Oh, I've never heard that one.
Oh, never heard of that one before.
Like, no, that's a new one.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. No way. Yeah, that might just be something with my friends. I don't know if that's common here among people living in LA, but at least, you know, with my friends, it's either, "hey man, how's it going?" or "what up, man?" So you'll never even say the S. And even texting, you'll just completely take out the S and it'll be "what up." So pretty interesting. All right. Well, let's keep it going. So we got the greetings out of the way. Now, if somebody did said, "good day," or "how are you," or "how's it going?" how do you guys typically respond to that? So, Lewis, let's go back to you again. What is your typical response to a greeting?
Yeah, when somebody asks, like, "how's it going? How are you?" anything like that, I usually, yeah, like to stay as positive as possible. Just say life is good, everything's good, even maybe when things are not so good. Actually, you know, it's kind of, for me, it's an opportunity. Even if, you know, life is difficult and I'm struggling, I kind of just think to myself, it's like, well, actually, life is good. Even if times are tough, life is good. So yeah, I that's my response. Is I usually like to say life is good, everything's good, I'm doing great. So yeah, try and keep it positive.
I like that, man. Life is good. I feel like I don't hear that much here in the US, but when somebody responds like that, it kind of makes you feel good. Yeah. How about you, Philip? What is your go-to?
Yeah, I mean, usually I'll be like, "oh, same old, same old." Nothing special, nothing new, or you know, the usual. Or if I've got something particularly interesting to say, you wouldn't believe it, mate, something like that. Sort of just, and then they're gonna lead with a question, what's going on, and then they'll kind of lead into a conversation about the latest happenings or something that affect. Yeah, gotcha. Usually I think most Australians try not to be too positive. I think we we kind of don't like it when someone's having a good life. We like to keep it mellow, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's funny. But that's kind of like the stereotypical like image that I had of people in the UK, though. That's not true.
Maybe I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. I see what you mean. But yeah, maybe. Yeah, sometimes people respond a little bit like, "Whoa, why is he so positive?" Yes. So we need to raise everybody up.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you think about Americans, I think positivity and enthusiasm and all that stuff kind of comes to mind. I think you do hear a lot of people say a lot of positive things and throw out all these positive adjectives to describe how good they're feeling, which, you know, some people do. It's pretty crazy how you might say like, "Hey, how are you today?" And like, "I'm doing super today," or something like along those lines. You will hear that. I think I'm kind of like you guys. I try to keep it not too good, but not too bad. I'm always the type of person that goes with like, "I'm doing all right," or "I'm doing pretty good. I've been good, not too bad." You know, something along those lines where it's not good, not bad. I'm just doing okay. But that's pretty much my go-to. But, you know, I think when you're living over here, you get all kinds of responses. And sometimes, you know, I'll be at the grocery store and somebody will just, I'll just say, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And they'll just kind of tell me how terrible of a day that they're having and tell me their whole story and their life story that I wasn't really ready for. That happens here sometimes as well. All right. Let's keep the conversation going, guys. So this is something that I am actually personally curious about. The word mate, bloke, I hope I'm saying that right. I might not even be saying that right. And here, maybe in the United States, it might be like man or dude. But how frequently is the word mate used in Australia and the UK? And I also want to know how the word bloke is actually used. So this one, I'll start with Philip. Can you give me your thoughts, feedbacks on these words here?
I think mate every day.
Every day?
I don't think a day, every day. A day doesn't go by where I don't use it or I don't hear it, at least in public somewhere. I think there's two ways. There's a few ways you can use it. But there's two main ways you can use it. Obviously, in a positive way. So you use it as a substitute for like you, like what are you, you know, as a an addition to you. So what are you doing, mate? Mm-hmm. Or how's it going, mate? Like that. But the way that we say it depends on whether or not it's a good reason or a bad reason we're using it.
Mm.
So, for example, if it's with friends, we might be like, "Hey, mate, how's it going?" So, mate, it's kind of a positive intonation. But if it's kind of negative, judgmental, we're like, "Mate, what are you doing?" "Mate, come on." Right? That's how we'd probably use it. But, yeah, definitely male, female, doesn't matter. Mm. Anyway, we use it for sure.
Interesting. So it doesn't matter if you're referring to a guy or a girl, everybody is a mate in Australia.
Anybody, everybody's a mate, right?
And it doesn't matter if you are friends or you just met them for the first time, you'll still refer to them as mates.
Yep. So you'll hear it on the bus. People get on the bus and go, you know, "Hey, mate, how's it going?" And then when they get off the bus, they go, "Cheers, mate." And then they'll just jump off the bus like that.
That's amazing. I love that. How about you, Lewis?
Well, this is actually really interesting because so I'm from the south of England, just outside London. And before I came to Japan, I moved further up north to Manchester, which is middle of Britain, but further up north. Now, I didn't think about this at all. I didn't think anything of this, but apparently I say mate a lot. And I feel like that's kind of normal for where I grew up. But when I moved up to Manchester, people would say to me, they'd say, "Oh, where are you from in Australia?" They don't ask me, "Are you Australian?" No, they say, "Where are you from in Australia?" Because I would just be like, "Oh, thanks, mate." Or like, "Oh, you're right, mate." So I would say mate, and I don't think I have an Australian accent, but I would say that quite commonly. And I guess in the south of England, maybe it's a bit more common, but up in the north, not at all. So people mistook me for being Australian.
Mm. Wow. That's interesting. And the way you use it, is it pretty identical to the way Philip uses it in Australia? Pretty much anybody, any gender, sex, whether you meet them for the first time or they've been your close buddies, you'll refer to everybody and anybody as mate.
Yeah, absolutely anybody. I think definitely in Australia, I think they definitely use it more. But yes, I would use it for anyone. Yeah. And you also mentioned about bloke as well. Yeah, bloke, I feel like bloke has such a, there's a real like nuance to it. It has a kind of weight. Like a bloke is like a real kind of like a man. Okay. Like a guy, like, I don't know, just like if you just picture a kind of a man drinking beer, working on a construction site, it's a bloke, you know, it's a guy, a bloke. It just, it's so difficult to like, it's so difficult to define, but there's a real, the nuance to it. It has a lot of weight.
So you wouldn't use bloke towards a female is what you're saying?
No, bloke, mate, yeah, mate is friend, pal, and but bloke is definitely a man, a bloke.
Yeah. Is that like a word that you use more with like friends, like informally, or is it kind of depending on where you're from in England? Is it like your background? Like how is that word typically used?
Well, I feel like, Like before, like mate or man, you can just put on the end of a sentence like, you're right, mate, or what's up, man? Like it's, you just, as I said, we put it on the end of a sentence. But bloke is more like used as a noun, like, oh, some bloke came in earlier and, oh, I was talking to this bloke earlier and he said blah, blah, blah. So I'd actually use it to identify someone.
Gotcha.
Not just on the end of a sentence.
Makes sense. How about you, Philip? What's it like over there?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. We use bloke for like referring to a third person. Mm. Whether it's formal, informal, whether it's someone you know or you don't know. You know, like let's say if we're talking about, I know Hugh Jackman, would be like, oh, yeah, he's a good bloke.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're talking about the Prime Minister, oh, yeah, he's been a pretty good bloke lately. Mm-hmm. You know, so pretty much a substitute for guy, I mm-hmm. think. But much like Lewis said, yeah, mostly for kind of those manly men, kind of, as he said, construction worker, beer drinking, you know, that kind of image at the first. But then we use it in other ways as well, mostly to refer to a third person.
Gotcha. So a little like rough around the edges and maybe got like the beard going and, you know, like the really rough looking manly man kind of person is the person you imagine. Huh? Yeah. So with bloke, you wouldn't say like, hey, bloke. It's more like used as like I spoke or there was a bloke at the grocery store or something like that, referring to like a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually really for like storytelling. Mm. So be like, you know, oh, I saw this bloke yesterday. Mm. And then you'd start talking about it like that. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So in, you know, the United States, I think a lot of it depends on where you live and where you grew up. So I think the most common word is man, which is probably the closest to the word mate. But the only thing with man is that it really has more of a speaking to another man in terms of like male. So you wouldn't really say, hey, man, to like a female. You totally could. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think like growing up, I would say like, hey, man, to a guy. But I think I would probably watch what I say. I wouldn't like go up to a female friend and be like, hey, man, how are you? Kind of thing. I'll just completely take that out of the sentence. And man is used, it seems like, in the exact same way as mate that you guys were talking about. Dude, I'm sure you guys have heard of that one before. Typical like surfer, snowboarder, skater type of language. I went to college in UC Santa Barbara, which is a school located right along the beach. And it was pretty crazy because I went from never hearing dude in my high school to all of a sudden about 90% of my friends were like, hey, dude, what's going on? Just like the typical movie scenes that you see. So the word man got replaced with dude. And within a year, I started using the word dude in like every other sentence that I was saying. So dude is also another word that is used instead of man. Maybe one last one, bro. I don't know if you guys use that one a lot, but we hear that word a lot. And I find myself using that quite frequently with my close friends, not really with people that I don't know. But if I haven't seen my friends in a while, I'm like, hey, bro, what's going on? And even with strangers, it's a word that you can casually use. But again, it's really directed towards males and not females. Bro, Lewis, Philip, you guys use that word at all?
How about you, Philip?
No. It's got that American vibe on it.
It's got that American vibe to it, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I feel like I actually say brother a lot, fully. Bro, yeah, maybe sometimes in the past, maybe. But brother, I definitely use a lot when I want to, I don't know, show some endearment towards someone. All men are brothers. We're all part of the same human family. So to say brother to someone at the end of a sentence, like, oh, thanks, brother. Like, I think that shows, that has a real weight of respect to it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, you know, I think bro is kind of the same way. It's kind of like a part of your family. So you might use it with friends like, thanks, bro. Or if you need any help, bro, I'm always here for you. But the funny thing is, kind of like what Philip mentioned with mate, if someone like bumped into you and you're maybe irritated that day, you might say, bro, watch out. And you might use it like that to show that you're not very happy with that person. So yeah, pretty interesting. Very cool. All right, well, let's keep it moving, guys. Small talk questions. So I know you guys teach a lot of English to a lot of students, and small talk questions probably come up a lot. So let's talk about it. I want to know what some of the common small talk questions that you guys use personally. So I know you guys don't like represent an entire country, but for you, if you met somebody for the first time or you haven't seen your friends in a while and you have to spark a conversation with them, what are some of your go-to small talk questions? Lewis, how about you?
Well, so I don't know if this is an internationally recognized thing, but England is quite famous for talking about the weather. All four seasons, changeable weather. But I read an article online once that somebody actually did research about this. And of all the countries in the world, British people really do actually talk about the weather a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's just an easy kind of go-to thing. Something I read years ago is a couple of ideas when, especially when talking to people you've just met and you want to start a conversation. There's a couple of ideas that I just thought were really interesting. One, it described it like human Twitter, so that you just kind of make a comment about something. Like if you're waiting for a bus and it's just like the bus is really late, like, okay, you might tweet like, oh, this bus is never normally late. I'm going to miss my appointment. So you would just say that to the person next to you. Oh, this bus is never normally late. I'm going to miss my appointment. And just making that kind of comment, that statement, is enough to spark a conversation. So that was one, human Twitter. The other one was human Google, which is like asking a question, like, when is this bus going to arrive? So again, just to the person next to you, when's this bus going to arrive? So yeah, human Twitter, human Google, just that little comment, that little question is enough to spark a conversation. And I think most people, you know, when you give them that little opportunity to start speaking, you know, people are happy to join in a conversation.
Interesting. Human Twitter and human Google. I don't think I've ever heard of those expressions before, but I mean, it is very easy to understand what you're trying to say here. How about you, Philip?
Pretty much seconding everything that Lewis just said. Weather as well in Australia is pretty popular, or even just asking, even if it's from, say, an online conversation, just asking, oh, how's the weather where you are? Having that exchange, especially if it's like been extreme lately, you know, with a cyclone coming through, or it's been like a heat wave, or complaining about it or talking about it, usually sparks a conversation from there. And much in the same way, starting off with a simple conversation, with a question, something like, oh, did you see blah, blah, blah lately? Or have you heard about like that? Or what do you think about that? You know, something that's been in the news lately. And as well, if you're waiting for the bus, kind of like, geez, this bus has taken a while. And the other person will be like, oh, yeah. And then somehow the conversation sort of gets rolling out of there, right? Someone will ask a question and then, yeah, you go from there. The latest thing I would say is probably holidays, especially around this time of the year. There's a lot of big holidays being celebrated. So, you know, obviously we've just had Christmas and New Year, but we've also got Chinese New Year coming up, which is kind of visible in Australia because we've got a large number of Chinese students and Chinese migrants, and also from Taiwan and other parts that also celebrate the Lunar New Year as well. So that might be part of the conversation. And coming up in, I think, April, May is the Muslim New Year. So that will start getting celebrated and people just have, you know, if you kind of recognize that that person's where they're from, you might have a conversation about that as well. Just go, oh, this, I guess it's Chinese New Year. And then someone will start talking about it like that.
So kind of like bringing up like current events or like the holidays, for example, might be a good way. So it's not like always a question is what you guys are saying. Sometimes it's just commenting on your surroundings and then having that feedback from the person around you that sparks the conversation that leads it to a conversation that could go anywhere, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I can just add to that, I think that it's like you don't want to direct a question to a stranger because then it kind of feels confrontational or sort of interrogative. So it's always just to sort of make an open statement that's an indirect question to the person that's there. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I feel like you do get that here in the United States. The one that you do get a lot, whether it's a stranger or, yeah, not a close friend, but more like stranger or somebody that you just kind of met, is the icebreaker is the compliment. I feel like that is something you see a lot and hear a lot here. I see it more with a female to female kind of thing. Like if I'm like walking around with my wife at the shopping mall, nobody would ever stop me and be like, hey, dude, that's a nice sweater or something like that. Nice shades, man. Nobody would ever really stop me and say that. But when I'm walking with my wife, it definitely wouldn't be surprising to just have a random person come up to my wife like, those are some beautiful shoes you got on. Where did you get them? And suddenly there's like a conversation going on with people that they just met on the spot, you know? So, complimenting is something big. Even if I'm like at events, I feel like that's kind of like my go-to. Go ahead.
It's interesting that you say that. You just reminded me, I was out with my friends once and we were at a bar and this guy came in And he had this kind of like leather jacket. It looked kind of like, I don't know, like a motorbike racing jacket or something like that. I don't know. But it was really, really cool jacket. And he had these shades on. And just immediately you look at this guy, you're like, wow, that is one cool guy. That is a cool dude. But a little bit later on, I said to that guy, I was at the bar and I said to him, I was like, yo, bro, that is a nice jacket. And like I said, you know, look at this guy, you know, okay, he's a cool guy. What do you think his attitude would be like? Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. You just think that's a cool guy. But I said to him, I was like, oh yeah, man, that's a nice jacket. And he said to me, he goes, oh, thanks, man. I wasn't sure about wearing it out today. And I was a little bit unsure. And he was like really like modest. And I was like, oh man, that's you look sick. Wow. So that it was actually really interesting. He really appreciated the compliment. Mm-hmm. And his attitude was totally different. So yeah, sometimes, you know, just given that little compliment that you think might just be like, oh, well, it's obvious. Mm-hmm. But given that compliment, people really appreciate that sometimes.
That's true, because, you know, sometimes you're wearing it and you're not really sure if it's just you that think it's kind of cool and everybody else thinks it's like weird or just kind of out there. But when you actually get that compliment, it makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
Got our last one here for today. We'll wrap it up with this one. And this one I am really curious about because I never use it. But I hear people use it outside of the US all the time. And I just want to know how common it is and how frequently you use it and how you use it. Reckon. So I reckon, fill in the blank. Philip, do you use I reckon in your everyday conversation?
Definitely. I might have already used it so far in our conversation. It's a substitute for I think, pretty mm-hmm. much. And a lot of times giving suggestions or advice, right? So, you know, let's say, for example, you know, you're talking about where you're going to eat tonight or what you're going to do today. Like, oh, I reckon we should do this. Mm. Or I reckon that's not a good idea. And you hear it no matter where you are, office, place, public, friends, family, or strangers, yeah, all the time. Even when we're like using hypotheticals, like let's say, for example, there's a traffic jam. You're like, oh, why do you think that, you know, what do you reckon is the problem? It'll be, oh, I don't know, probably I reckon there's a crash up front, or oh, I reckon there was a kangaroo, something like that. Usually will, all the time, yeah, for suggestions, advice, and using hypotheticals or posing hypotheticals, I think.
How do you separate that from think then? Like, I think, I reckon, is it just how you're feeling at the time? Is there like a nuance to that?
I feel like probably think is a little more of a formal thought. Maybe formal reckon thought. Is something okay. On a surface level, like something just popped into your head and I reckon we should do this. It's not really a deep kind of, oh, I've been pondering, I've been wondering, I've been considering. I think is probably a next layer where you're emphasizing you've actually spent time thinking about it, whereas reckon is just sort of an idea popped into your head. And you're kind of going with it.
Interesting. Lewis, how about you?
Yeah, that's really interesting because that's exactly what I was thinking about, was the difference in nuance between think and reckon. And I guess I think. Yeah, I like the way you explained it. Like, I think we should go here. Like, it sounds like a bit more deliberated and like a bit more like you've really thought about it. But I reckon, yeah, maybe it's just a little bit more, I don't know, yeah, a bit more not casual, but like immediate and I don't know, a bit more, in a way, a bit more like confident, like I reckon this. So yeah, it's very subtle, but I think most sentences where you say, I think it will rain tomorrow, you can just say, I reckon it will rain tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just swap them quite interchangeably, I think. So, very, very similar. Mm.
Interesting. I've never used that. And I've always reckon sounded a lot more formal than think. But what you guys are saying is that think versus reckon. Reckon is more like something that just kind of pops into your mind, like on the spot, and you say it, versus think has more of like predetermined, like you kind of thought about it before, even a little bit, and then you're expressing your thoughts or sharing your thoughts with them.
I mean, I'd even say, like, if someone said to you, what do you reckon? You gave your opinion.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that they would take it as like, why would you say that kind of thing? Because it's, like I said, it's that surface level. Like if someone said, what do you reckon? Where should we go? Uh-huh. I reckon we should try this. It's kind of a hesitant sort of suggestion. Yeah.
So you can use it in that context. You can say, what do you reckon? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really tough to, it's one of those things you just don't really think about, but reckon just comes very, very quickly, very easily. Oh, I reckon over there. So if you say, I think, it sounds like you're a little bit more committed to like, I think this, but yeah, oh, I reckon blah, blah, blah. Bit smoother.
You just said it now, right? When you just said it's not really something you think about, suggesting you can't substitute. It's not something you really reckon about.
You wouldn't say it.
No, you wouldn't say it because reckon doesn't work for a deep thought. Yeah.
Oh. Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, I need to think about this more carefully. Yeah. You throw it in very casually, but not for like a, I reckon, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I reckon we should go there.
Yeah.
Easy.
So if someone asks you a question and you say something like, let me think about it and I'll get back to you, you wouldn't say, let me reckon it and I'll get back to you. That wouldn't work.
No, but it feels so different.
Yeah. How about you think? Can you say, do you reckon? Is that okay? If it's like on the spot, I guess. Do you reckon we go out tonight? Something like that. Would that work?
Yeah, I think if we're just going for like the person's instinct or instant reaction, sure. Yeah.
And especially when you, instead of, you know, do you, but even to shorten that, do you reckon?
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of easy, casual kind of expression. Do you reckon this?
Can you use it in past tense as like thought I reckoned?
Did you reckon? No, I don't think so.
Sounds a bit weird. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Actually, thought our meeting was at 3:30 today. I reckoned our meeting was at 3:30 today. I thought.
No.
Is that
maybe
weird?
No.
The
no.
fact that you have to think about it that much is probably a sign that it's not natural then, right?
Well, actually, the actual word reckon actually has some different meanings. A force to be reckoned with.
Ah, yeah.
So if you use it past tense, that's what it sounds like.
It's a good one.
I think, which is a different definition. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love that conversation, man. I felt like I learned a lot about the word reckon in the last 10 minutes that I had no idea about. But to everybody listening to our conversation today, I hope you guys were able to learn a little bit about the difference in American, British, and Australian English. I reckon, that, you know, the point of this video is to kind of let you know that there is no one perfect way of expressing yourself. It really depends on who you're talking to. And English really varies depending on which country, the type of person that you're talking to. And it's good to learn the variation. So have an open mind, learn a lot of different variations, and find the expression that is right for you. Lewis, Philip, thank you guys very much. That was a lot of fun today.
Yeah, that was really good. A lot of these questions are really interesting because, like, as a native speaker, you never think about it until somebody asks a question like this, and then you're like, oh, what's the difference between these things and the nuance? And it is interesting. I enjoy that. Yeah.
Sure. And I know I'm going to be very self-conscious of any time I use mate or reckon today. I'm going to be analyzing and going, wait a minute. Yeah. But it's great.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. And to everybody listening and watching, we'll see you again. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Take care.
I hope you guys enjoyed my discussion with Philip and Lewis today. They are all incredible tutors on Cafe Talk, an online learning platform, and they offer fun and engaging lessons to students of all levels. You can find all of their details on the show notes today, so if you're interested, be sure to check it out. You can also catch our conversation on YouTube on my Hapa Eikaiwa channel. The video of today's conversation will be posted on Friday, March 8th. 今日はフィリップさんとルイスさんとのディスカッションを楽しんでいただけましたか？彼らはオンライン習い事サイトカフェトークの素晴らしい講師たちで、様々なレベルの生徒に楽しいレッスンを提供しています。彼らの情報はすべてハパ英会話のブログに載せていますので、興味のある方はぜひチェックしてみてください。また、YouTube のハパ英会話チャンネルでも私たちの会話をご覧いただけます。今日の会話の動画は、3月8日金曜日にアップされる予定です。
Thanks for listening today. You guys have an awesome day and I will catch you again next week. Take it easy. Peace.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.